So we're doing a live podcast for Cinecraft Beer Week, so we're going to make him like play the intro.
Oh, no. You didn't
tell me that. Or do we get you to play it and just get everyone to yell session?
I forgot the chords. Sessionable.
So, yeah, I'd like to say welcome to our very special guest, Hendo.
How are you guys?
Hey, man, how are you?
I'm awesome. Lovely to be here in Sydney.
Yeah, man.
Having
it's
a ball.
Good to have you here.
It's really good to. I don't get up here often enough, and you know, I've just had a couple of weeks out, just sort of a pseudo vacation kind of work thing, and
from
bought
the
a plane
of it,
ticket.
Very needed.
And, yeah. it wasn't quite a vacation as such, but it was good to get out and. Go and check out what's happening in Brisbane. Lots of awesome stuff happening there. And then coming down here for the event that we did on Thursday night here at Camaray Craft, gave me the excuse to come to Sydney. And then I was like, you know, fuck it. I'm going to stay for the weekend and drink some awesome beer and have a good time. Yeah. So, yeah.
Did you check out anywhere new that you hadn't been before besides Camaray?
I had. A few new places I checked out went to Red Oak for the first time, actually.
Oh, cool. All right, yeah.
And, you know, a lot of like beer geeks will sort of say different
it's
things
cool
about
enough.
The branding and how they position their product and that sort of thing, but, man, the beers there were really good.
I think almost everyone agrees on the beers are great.
The beer that's in my mind, and indeed the beer of my trip, thus far would be their English IPA.
Yeah, I really like that.
It was amazing. Yeah. And I don't drink a lot of English IPA, but that one really floated my boat.
And their bitter when that's on.
Didn't
the
try the bitter.
Yeah,
awesome. Yes,
I was only there
like
really briefly.
Awesome.
So I just had their American Pale Ale.
Yep.
Which was really, really fresh. In fact, I'd probably say it was probably only like a day or two out of the tank. It was
great.
That fresh and grassy and that sort of thing. You remember when I came up for Ale Stars and we had Hop Zone, which had been like 2 days out of the tank.
And we had it through fresh hops
through,
as well.
Yeah, it was like that. It was just like really, really grassy. I almost call that too fresh.
This is coming from you as well.
But that was really cool. And the English IPA was excellent. Also went to a few new venues that I've not been to before. So coming here to Camaray was awesome. I think this is an amazing venue. I think it's got some real good potential when summer kicks off and that sort of thing. I feel very comfortable and relaxed here, and the beer is awesome. And the most amazing thing is this guy here, Adrian. You know, when we were here on Thursday night, and you were working behind the bar and that sort of thing. You know, I don't know what you did before you did this, but
I was doing IT before.
Yeah,
this.
That's right. Yeah, we've had this conversation before, probably over several beers. But watching you behind the bar was really cool because you were thoroughly enjoying it, and I could see that.
And that comes across really well, doesn't it?
We didn't talk much on Thursday night because you're just in this zone, just working away, and you're enjoying it. I think you found your calling, man. It's really good.
Yeah, right on.
It's really good. And you know, that sort of passion and that sort of motivation is really going to, you know, flow through to your customers, going to get them keep coming back and that sort of thing. So, well done, man. It's really
thanks.
Cool. Where else did they... Oh, a bit of you last night.
I ran into him last night.
Yeah, that's right.
Stalked him, ran into him.
Well, I tweeted him as he was walking down the stairs.
It was, that was...
So I sent this tweet about when we were going to catch up
today
and that sort of thing. And so I just sitting at the bar, and then I got a tap on the shoulder and... Isn't Twitter amazing?
Yeah. I'm on my way to the Swans game.
So, Bit of Few was cool.
Yeah.
The place was packed.
It was the
it's
busiest I've ever seen it.
Wow.
It was great, the barbecue.
Pop-up kitchen.
Yeah, the pop-up kitchen thing. We're having an event, which is just something... It wasn't a big event. It was basically just something they put on Facebook.
The
food
there was fun.
Come have some food.
They got like a Jamaican
We were
going to
do it, but
They ran out. This was at, 6:30.
Wow.
They had run out of food.
Yeah.
It was that busy. So, which is... It's a bit annoying because I want it to have some jerk chicken, but at the same time,
fuck, you got Mr. Crackles downstairs.
Yeah,
you,
that's what I.
Yeah, I saw you, Mr. Crackles.
Yeah, I saw your tweet. You were pretty stoked.
Yeah,
I'm walked into the classic role.
Well, but, yeah, that's it. Yeah. I walked into Mr. Crackles, and I've never seen a place like it. And you know, Tommy described it to me, and I was like, walked in there, and they've got that glass cabinet in the corner,
all of crackles,
where in the bottom it's like buckets of crackling, and then the top it's like whole sheets of crackling.
And I was just like,
I said to the guy, do you mind if I just lick the glass for a little while? is that free? And no, couldn't lick the glass. But I bought myself one of
the classic roll,
which was amazing. I didn't get a bucket of crackling because
I've never actually done the crackling because it just seems a little bit too far.
I do it as a bit of a bar snack when I'm a bit of few. And then
open. That's like if I'm not hungry enough for a roll, but I'm hungry enough for some food.
Oh, it's Mr. Crackling. Yeah, grab a cup of crackling. You're always going to be a little bit hungry.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So I did the classic roll there, and then I went down to Brooklyn Social, which is, I think, is the Central Hotel
near
Central Station. Amazing. One of my sales guys for my distributor, Will, works behind the bar there on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
Makes an awesome Negroni. Oh, my God. If I'm not drinking beer, I'm drinking gin at the moment. It seems to be my thing.
It's some good Aussie stuff as well, gin-wise. Like
it's a good time to be drinking gin, man. Fuck.
And then we went over to the Oxford Arts Factory on Oxford Street there to see Oscar, who works at Young Henry's.
It was his last gig.
And that was his last gig. It was his finale gig for the Hell City Glamours.
How was that? I was thinking about going that last night,
It went off. Yeah, my God. I mean, it's been a while since I've been to a gig. and you know, I've got some photos of my phone here of when Oscar got... It was ringing the bell to open.
Oh, that was amazing! Yeah.
And
it was so fucking happy.
And I was standing with Richard from Young Henry's when that happened.
Yeah,
and I remember saying to Richard at the time, "This guy's a fucking rock star." You know, just the way he was just ringing the bell, just had this fist pumping in the air and that sort of thing, and hey, never said. And I didn't even know that he was in a band or that he played
a
guitar or anything like that. Turns out he's like the lead singer of Hell City Glamours, and the guy just went off. Like it was their last gig, and the rhythm guitarist like had a whole bottle of Jack Daniels. He was just drinking out of the bottle and everything, and it was an amazing show. And I was drinking tinnies of VB. It's like tinny and a shot for $10. How can you say no to that? I'm not a fucking beer snob. I'm just like tinny and a shot for $10. Yeah, I'll drink VB. Like dirty pub rock bloody
that's what you drink.
And so that was amazing. And then went down to what I usually do when I go late is head down to Frankie's, and they've got Hop Zone on tap there at the moment. I've never been in Frankie's, so you know you've made it as a brewer when your beer's been tapped at Frankie's.
Nice.
So I was pretty chuffed about that. So it's been really, really, really cool visit. So awesome, I'm really looking forward to Sydney Craft Beer Week. Again, it's going to be bigger and better and more awesome than what it was last year. I think this is going to be my third Sydney Craft Beer Week that I've been involved with.
Yeah, that sounds about right,
It'll be number four for... Well, it is number four, isn't it?
It is number four. I don't think... I don't recall having anything to do with the first one.
It was very small.
It was very small. Yeah. But being up here, you know, I think first year I was with Southern Bay, and then last year, Brewcult, this year Brewcult. I've sort of gotten a bit more proactive, and I'm involved in... I'm here for the whole week. Last year... Do you know what happened last year? I, like, was here. I got in on the Saturday when it started and that sort of thing. Did a few events. Flew back to Melbourne.
Yeah, and you came back
and did a tasting
at my store.
Yeah, and then flew back.
I felt so guilty when you told me that. We were at the Feral event. I was like, "Yeah, come do a tasting at my store." Yeah, sure. And then I found out you flew back, brewed, and came back again. That's right. Really bad.
Yeah, I'm not doing that again this year. Yeah. I'm just going to stay for the whole week. So, I'll plan my schedule a little bit better. Yeah. And So this year, the one event that I'm really looking forward to is doing the reprise of the Hops Drink Awesome Drink Fresh event.
Where are you doing that?
That's at the Oak Barrel on the Tuesday night. I don't know what the date that is, but it's the Tuesday of Sydney Craft Beer Week.
Good.
And that's an event that I did during Good Beer Week at Touro.
Yeah.
It's a really cool event. So I don't know if tickets are live or
not
available.
Yet. I don't. The program hasn't actually been announced yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Pretty sure it's not going to be a problem, but it's, you know, for people who it's a bit of a beer geek event, and I do get a little bit technical with it, but it's an event that's very experiential. Yeah. And so I talk about sort of how hops are used in the brew house and the types of faults that can occur with hops in beer, depending upon how the hops are used in the brew house, mm-hmm. whether it's bittering or aroma or dry hopping and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And so it was amazing. It was an amazing response that I got after Good Beer Week, because I got a lot of tweets and got a lot of, you know, feedback from it. And, you know, a lot of the punters that were there said, oh my God, I didn't realise that I've been drinking really shitty IPA all along. And, you know, and they were saying, you know, thanks for you know, opening my senses to the whole thing. So it's a lot of fun. It's about 2 hours. I think the event's going to be something like $30 or $40 or something. That's a really cheap event.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you'll get to, you'll pay $30 or $40 for me to serve you shitty, faulty beer.
Thank you for it.
So, you know, we do we do Light Strike, and the best way to do Light Strike as a hop fault is to get Heineken.
Leave it out in the sun.
And leave it out in the sun. And so we get Light Strike Heineken and Heineken. And, you know, see what that's like and see if people can tell the difference.
Yeah.
It was a very interesting result. I won't give it away here but it was a very interesting way that people perceive that.
Awesome.
And then Hop Zone. So by the time Sydney Craft Beer Week rocks around, the shitty Hop Zone is going to be 13 months old.
Wow.
And so it's going to be
an early brew.
It's going to be well and truly.
Yeah, so it'll be a lot worse than this.
Yeah.
Because we're, sorry, we should have said earlier, but yeah, we're drinking
Hop Zone.
Sorry, we're drinking Hop Zone at the moment.
Yum.
And I'll
left of it.
No. I would say it's smelling really fresh, but I've finished mine already, so.
That's
how fresh it was.
I'll put into the production plan probably within, you know, 3 or 4 weeks before Sydney Craft Beer Week, a batch of Hop Zone, so we can actually get a fresh Hop Zone with 13-month-old Hop Zone.
Cool.
Has it been like stored properly, but just really old, or has it been?
No,
in the
it spent the summer in 40-degree heat at Cavalier at the brewery.
Cool.
So no, it's fucked.
Yeah.
It's really fucked.
Because I'd be interested to see, like, just, you know, properly kept but really old stock as well.
Well, the shitty version of Hop Zone is actually sitting out in at Otway Estate at Prickly Moses now, because I don't have room in my house.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of in a cool and dark place how you should store it.
Yeah.
But time's the enemy.
Yeah,
So it's like milk, you know. It's like, it's you gotta treat it accordingly.
It's like, you know, the grey import US beers that get here, and you can tell, like, if you've had them fresh, you can tell that the grey import stuff's old.
Well, that's kind of, you know, one of the topics that we cover during that event. Is, you know, when, you know, just because is the whole grey import thing. I'm not necessarily anti grey import, but I'm anti grey import IPA.
And I'm the same as well.
And and that's who's going to be there as well. So Scotty Thompson, so Beardface 151 on Instagram. He's he's coming up. He's going to help me out with that event, because you know, he came to the event during Good Beer Week, and we had a discussion. He's a great friend of mine.
Yeah, I met Scotty at Sourfest.
That's right. And he said, "Oh, can I help you spread the word about, you know, fresh beer and that sort of thing?" I said, "Yes, absolutely." So he's going to be co-hosting the event with me.
Beautiful.
So it's going to be really cool.
Awesome. It's great. Yeah.
It's awesome. What do you got there?
So this is the Stonerwood new release is the Cloud Catcher. I'm not exactly sure about the style of beer. Hendo, you've had it before, you could probably mm-hmm. let us know. But it's brewed to commemorate the new brewery in Mount...
Somewhere
on the label. Mount Warrnambool?
Yeah.
Woolumbin.
Mount Woolumbin, which means...
Mount Warning.
Mount Warning.
Mount Warning,
yeah.
Which is...
near Woolumbin.
Yeah,
Woolumbin.
Which is where the new Stonerwood Brewery is, or the new Stonerwood Pacific Ale Brewery, because I'm pretty sure that's all the brewing out of there.
Just over the border... Just on the New South Wales side of the Queensland New South Wales border.
So this beer is actually brewed at Byron Bay because all their limited release stuff's going to come out of Byron now. Yep. But it's brewed to commemorate the new brewery.
I'm pretty sure it's a Galaxy.
It's Galaxy and Ella.
Yeah, pale. Is it or
What's that like? 5.5%
Yeah. So my understanding is it's probably a tip of the hat to Pacific Ale, but a bit different, which is what I would guess. But I haven't had it yet, so I thought I was saving it for today.
But, yeah, and I think we should, you know, definitely congratulate. Everyone from Stonerwood on
absolutely
being awesome.
Yeah, look, coming from a retail side, it's been a very painful 6 months.
Yeah. It's my
Stonerwood because
well, they haven't been able to supply.
No, it's
you know?
And it's like
everyone
it's,
wants it.
Everyone wants it, and it's, I've had so many arguments with customers just because I'm like, I'm sorry, man, like I can't get you any. But look, it's been a real struggle, but it's all done now.
Oh, thanks for getting me those 5 cases the other day.
Yeah, shut up.
I'm not even kidding.
Oh, sorry.
you know, I love Pacific Ale.
Oh,
that's
fucking amazing beer.
That's my go-to beer. And, oh God, I drink so much of it because...
You know what? I don't, but I come back to it and go, shit, I haven't had a Stonerwood for a while.
And every time I have it after
like,
not drinking it.
Why am I not drinking this more often? It's an amazing beer. Like, a really fresh Pacific Ale is amazing.
Oh, look, there's times that I've drunk Stonerwood Pacific Ale that have blown me away. So, up in Brews Vegas earlier this year, I think it was March.
They just did their Beer Week?
Yeah, the Beer Week they have up in Brisbane. They just released the Pacific Ale with the 2014
Hot
Galaxy.
Release, yeah.
And it was like... straight out of the brewery, straight on a truck, straight up to Brisbane.
Beautiful.
And oh my God, it was like new. It was like a whole new experience because, you know, hops is an agricultural product, so it has a seasonal.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
It has a seasonal variation.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course. Yeah.
So new harvest, you know, really fresh hop, really fresh beer, and it was a whole new experience. Mm. You know, and that's the good thing about it. So it's a bit darker than Pacific Ale though.
On the nose, it's very different.
Mm. Yeah.
It's a little bit vegetal, even.
And it's got a bit more body than Pacific Ale does, I think. What is it? Yeah, 5.5.
Yeah, it has a bit more grass and spice to the hop profile on the nose.
But the, what does Ella add as a hop varietal? Spice flavours?
Turpentine.
Is that what you're getting from here?
It's not a hop that I use a lot of for that very reason. Particularly in dry hop, I find it very turpentine-y and oily and that sort of thing. But that's only when it's used on its own. When you do something like this and you've got some Galaxy with it and that sort of thing, there are some hop varieties that need to be put with other hop varieties to really make them pop out.
Yeah.
So, for example, a lot of people rave about Citra, right? And I love Citra. It's a great hop. But on its own, it's really one-dimensional and really boring.
If you think about beers that use Citra, then very rarely just have Citra in it. They're normally...
That's right, there's been a few beers that have been released that have been single-hop Citras.
Yeah,
and, you know, rock-solid beers and that sort of thing. But, you know, just, you know, from a personal preference perspective, it's a different beast. So this beer, I kind of like when I had it last week up in Brisbane, my untapped check-in said that it was like, this is like my favourite beer, but more of my favourite beer. And I'll pay that. It's a great beer. Mm-hmm. I hope it's not the last time they do it.
Yeah, no, that's what I hope as well.
Well, I mean, the whole thing is with this new brewery is that Byron's now freed up to be able to do a lot more of these things.
Well, they say that.
No, I mean, because what's the Mash Collective, which is their core collaborative thing?
Yeah.
I mean, they're very keen on ramping a lot of these things up. So hopefully...
Oh, yeah, no, I think they'd love... Yeah, but I also
But
think,
they basically have a free brewery now to be able to do it. Because besides, what, Jasper Ale and Pints and...
Yeah. Stone Beer and...
well, that's as far as year round releases. It's just lager and lager and Jasper.
Yeah, true.
Considering the amount of Pacific ale that was pumping out of that brewery, they've got a lot of free tank space.
I just think they might end up doing more Pacific ale at that brewery.
The new brewery is just all for. It's the only thing they're brewing.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, like, apparently they've got two grain silos in the place.
Are they doing the lager there as well?
No, it's just...
So the lager's still at Byron, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. The new brewery
I like the lager, actually.
I haven't had the lager for a long time.
It's a very well-made lager.
When you get it on draft,
yeah.
It's just really smashable and
drink
just yum.
A lot of it because if that and the Pacific Ale's on...
I'll go Pacific Ale every
time. Yeah, of course. Yeah, totally.
But yeah. But I probably should...
In Melbourne, I was at the Gertrude Hotel back in February, and they just happened to have Stone and Wood Lager, and I went,
I'm going to give
this a shot.
Yeah.
It's rocks on lager. Oh, what was the lager that they did? The Old Persuader?
Old Persuader, yeah.
That was good, too.
Yeah, that was great.
That was really good.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, that was the...
You need to get some.
Was that a Mash Collective one? Or?
I think so. Yeah. I don't know if they bottled it. Did they bottle it?
Yeah, they did.
I think they did, yeah.
I had that, yeah.
That was good.
But that was the last Mash Collective. The one before that, which was the Rumweizen, which was really good as well.
Yeah.
It's good to see a brewery that does, a huge amount of volume, can't keep up, distributed nationally and that sort of thing, actually do a little bit of experimentation and seasonals and stuff like that,
I
think for the brewers it's a really good thing as well.
Sure. Yeah.
They must get, I mean, like, it's a great beer, but it can't be very interesting brewing the same beer day in, day out. Like,
yeah,
I mean, like, we were talking to the guys at Four Pines and then how the fact that monthly one of them takes turns and does the bar brewery.
Yep.
And that's where they get to, they get to just
do whatever they want there.
That's right.
And then when they go back to Brookvale, you do the big production stuff. But
and they love it. They like
all the brewers take a turn at Manly.
They love doing it.
It was one of the things that I kind of instilled on the crew when I was at Southern Bay was we intentionally did seasonals and single batches and one-offs. For the benefit of the crew.
For learning and
That's exactly what happened. Yeah. So for example, what happened was we would... I remember when we did the first batch of Hopazooka and we were talking about how we were going to move the beer from one tank to another and the equipment's really old there.
Yeah.
And so there was a way of... there's potential for damaging the beer on the way down and that sort of thing. And one of the guys sort of came up with this novel way of moving the beer... like much better than it had been in the past. And so he said, if we do this and this and this, then we don't have the oxygen pick up and the product's going to last longer and that sort of thing. And then I just went straight back to him and said, well, why don't we do this all the time? So doing those seasonals was not only for the benefit of Southern Bay, but all the other beers that came out of there. And as a result, all the beer that came out of Southern Bay was made better.
That's awesome. That's great.
Because of that. So,
It's cool. And part of your job in that place is to develop these guys as better brewers as well, right? I mean, might be the number one thing, but you'd hope that when you left a place like that, that they're better brewers for you being around and...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like, if I think about a couple of the guys who I used to work with at Southern Bay, so Matty Cuthbert, good mate of mine, he's over at Rocks Brewing now. I was over there the other day, and he was, he'd never worked on another brew house other than the really old, shitty, fucking Southern Bay beast of a thing, which I actually never worked at. I never actually did a solo brew there because it took 6 months to learn how to work the thing. It was that so convoluted and fucked. It was just,
You'd be like the Fonz and know where to hit it on the elbow and stuff like that.
Exactly. And, I brewed quite a bit on there, but I never went solo. I had to have one of the crew shadowing me, which shows how talented they were. So he's at Rocks now, and he's on that brand new IDD mash press system.
I was
really honoured to be in his house.
Yeah.
And for him to show me around his modern brewery. And he was just... He's a very calm and quiet guy, and I fucking love him to bits. And he was just so proud just to be there.
Yeah.
And he's taken a lot of the things that I believed in to rock. So, for example, a lot of the quality management that goes on at Rocks now, and the beers, I only tried them for the first time the other day.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that I can absolutely say that the standard of the beers coming out of Rocks has improved significantly because of Matt.
Yeah.
And so we instilled, I tried to instill this culture of, it doesn't matter what the beer is, it doesn't matter how shitty it is, whether we're making Southern Bay Draft or whatever, all beer deserves to be made well.
Mm. Okay.
And so Matt's taken that and he's applied that in at Rocks, and he's applied some really basic, very easy quality management principles, and the beers, all the beers that I tried were amazing. And yeah. IPA,
the Conviction IPA.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's fantastic.
Fuck me sideways. Yeah. That was amazing beer. And that's Matt. I'm just like, that's so cool.
Makes you proud. Yeah.
And the other crew member who's moved on elsewhere is young Ryan. He's a BrewDog now.
Yeah.
And he's kicking some ass over there in Scotland. He's got a massive beard now.
Every photo I've ever seen of like the brewers at BrewDog, they're just like
beards. Yeah,
I mean, that's true for a lot of breweries.
And you know, Ryan was such a great guy. We called him Pup. I still call him Pup. And he was only 26 when I first met him, but he actually helped me make the first batch of pepper steak porter.
Yeah.
Out at Otway, where we did the first 50-litre system. And he was at Southern Bay before I started there, became friends with him, and when I was thinking about the first batch of pepper steak porter, I said, oh, well, how am I going to get the meat flavour in this beer? And it was like, I'll just smoke some malt. And then I saw on Facebook that he had built himself this
smoker
out of an old car LPG cylinder.
That's sick.
With a big fuck off chrome truck exhaust coming out the top of it and that sort of thing. And I just saw that on Facebook. He said, I built this, and I went, I'm going to smoke malt in it. So we went round to his house one day and we smoked some maraschino.
So you just put it on trays and just put it
in the smoker? You wet the malt and we used hickory and mesquite smoke. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And he showed me his homebrew system. It's like fucking Darth Vader's homebrew system. It's like all the bells and whistles and lights, and it's all computer controlled, and all the valves are all it was just insane.
System breathe like Darth Vader,
and you could actually brew without actually having, you could brew over the internet
remotely. That's sick.
That's awesome.
Be at work and putting a brew on. Yeah.
Ryan was so enthusiastic, and you know, that enthusiasm sort of carried on to what he was doing at Southern Bay. And I remember when we first started working together that I said to him, I said, mate, you're going to go a long way in this industry. And lo and behold, within 12 months, he's a fucking BrewDog. You know, one of the best breweries in the world and best craft breweries in the world.
One of the fastest growing breweries in the world.
And he's loving it. And the great thing is now that they're distributed, you know, in Australia now. And I still get to drink his beer. It's great. He's just shit raw. Awesome. He's having a ball. Love it.
Cool, man. Yeah. I mean, we should probably get a bit of background.
I was also thinking, we've been talking
for about half an hour.
It'd be cool if we didn't as well. Yeah. I think most people who listen to this know who Hendo is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we'll do 25 words or less.
Basically, everyone knows you started at Otway.
Otway, yep.
Yeah, and then went on to Southern Bay.
Yep.
And started your own thing.
Started at Brewcall. That's right. Brewing out of Cavalier. I will talk about that a bit later. But before, what were you doing before you started at Otway?
I worked for 9 days at Murray's. It was a very short, a short start to the career. There was actually a major industrial accident that happened there.
Oh, okay.
And with all the wash up from it and that sort of thing, I just felt that it wasn't for me, so I kept moved on and that sort of thing. But it didn't stop my motivation for wanting to be a professional brewer.
Yeah.
So were you home brewing at that stage?
Yeah. So
big time. Yeah.
I was looking at some photos the other day of my first all-grain homebrew, which was actually only in 2007, 2008, cool. I think it was.
Well, it's been a week since I did my first all-grain.
Really?
Homebrew. So, it's still fermenting. So. Yeah. Well, I think it's almost done. I think it probably is done.
Got wort in the fermenter, so, it's all good.
Yeah, exactly.
So, our last episode, which I didn't partake in, was actually a homebrew episode.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So, the guys into Jez and...
Jez and Sam Fletcher.
Sam.
Oh, cool. So we talked to them about, about homebrewing.
So I do have a pretty sort of heavy homebrew background. I do like to experiment. But at the same time, you know, a lot of, there's some people out there that like to call me an extreme brewer, and I just don't think that I'm an extreme brewer.
Mm.
I can go extreme. You know, I'm looking at the bottle of Pepper Steak Porter there, and I can do it when I want to.
I fucking love the artwork for Pepper Steak Porter, by the way. It's like, I put it in on a Friday, and I think by Monday we'd sold the three cases that I'd ordered, just because people
Do you want some more?
People are just like, what the fuck is that? And I'm like, it's Pepper Steak Porter. Are you fucking serious?
I love the juxtaposition between just the big picture of steak and then a vegan beer.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a bit of a fan of irony. And so that's why when I like the same guy who designs my labels now is the same guy who was designing the labels for all the new beers when I was back at Otway Estate. So we've worked together for 4 or 5 years now.
So you're talking about like Hot Bazooka and...
The Raconteur,
Cool.
Tailpipe, you know, all those beers, it's the same graphic designer. Cool. So the good thing is that... you know, Jim's a great guy. He's not a great illustrator, but he's a great designer. So when I say lay something up on a label, he does it. So if you take a beer like Acid Freaks, for example, I actually commissioned an artist, Megan McPhail, sister of Justin up in Bendigo Beer.
Yep.
So she drew all the components. She actually did Metalhead, Robust Porter, out of Southern Bay as well.
Yeah,
so same artist, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then, so she did the artwork, scanned it in its individual components, sent it over to Jim, my graphic designer, and he laid it all up and put it all together and that sort of thing. And that's how it all sort of came together. So, yeah, I love making labels. I think labels are cool.
I think
if you're going to do a beer, it's got to look good on a t-shirt.
Yeah, of course. But I think Pepper Steak Porter actually, it really sums up what that beer is in the label.
Yeah.
Like the colour of the label, the giant fuck off steak on the front of it. Like,
I love that there's a picture of a steak and there's no meat in it.
the vegan beer experience. Yeah, that's my fave. Yeah.
Well, it actually, some of the draft versions of that label actually, it said something else. And then right at the last minute, I said to Jim, can you please change the words to a vegan beer experience? Will that fit? And he goes, yeah, I'll make it fit. And then lo and behold, it became a vegan beer experience. And Jim, my label designer, I've never met him.
Well, he's based in the States.
I think he's in South Carolina.
Right.
In the States. And we've never met.
Wow.
We've never met.
Well, one day there'll be a beer and barbecue experience. And
well, next time I go over, I've actually said to him, next time I come over, I'll actually go and pay him a visit. I'd love to meet the guy.
Yeah, cool.
Hmm. Isn't that amazing that you can have such that sort of
does he
relationship?
Drink craft beer?
Yeah, he does actually, because he'll go and buy like Sierra Nevada or a Stone or whatever he can get in his state and that sort of thing. And so when we're talking, actually he's really cool because this is really interesting for a person you haven't met.
Yeah.
So he's adopted a child from Central America, and so now he's a dad, and he was telling me the other week how he took his son to his first ball game and how he was drinking craft beer at the ball game and that sort of thing.
That's cool.
You know,
the fact that you don't know this guy. I mean, you have never met this guy, but you know all these things about him. And
this whole thing of being a brewer and making beer and doing something that makes people have fun and that sort of thing has just been such a rewarding experience at all levels, you know. And I love it. And I'm having a ball as long as I'm you know, motivated and meeting interesting people and, you know, having some fun, I'll continue to make awesome beers. And
oh, please do, man.
Yeah, yeah. The day I'll get bored is the day that I'll just stop.
Speaking of interesting labels, we've just poured the new Feral Brewpub series. So it's the Hopfenfahrt. So it's a German IPA.
Mm.
It's got the Polaris, Mandarina, Sapphire, and Hercules hops from, which are all like New World varieties.
I've not heard of any of those.
Yeah,
yeah.
New World German hops, you're saying?
Yeah, New World
so
German hops.
So that's what makes it a German IPA?
Yeah.
So I was trying to figure out, like, they're German hops brewed in the New World, or the New World hops brewed in
I don't think New World is the...
Well, new generation,
yeah,
I guess.
New generation,
I'd probably say new varieties. Because they're New World styles, as opposed
to
New World kind of hops.
So,
higher in alpha acids.
Yeah, as opposed to that kind of notable
Well, the trend now with hops is to, you know, with hop growers, is to breed hop varieties for hop flavour and aroma, whereas in the past it was all
bittering
about alpha acids and bittering.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you historically look at varieties like Prada Ringwood, and many beer geeks just hate Prada Ringwood, I think it serves a purpose.
Yeah.
It does its job as a tool.
But it has a part in Australian history.
It's an, and a really important part of Australian hop growing history. And, you know, Prada Ringwood was bred for alpha acid because the more alpha acid you could get into a hop,
the bitterer,
the less you needed to use bitter a beer. So it was like a whole economic thing.
Which is what mainstream lagers are all about to some degree.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's all about the economies of scale. Again, it's a tool. It's what it's all about. Now, what's happened is the you know, with the craft beer revolution, the hop growers are having to adapt to us craft brewers who are wanting
demanding
flavour and aroma varieties.
Yeah.
And it's not about alpha acid. We want oils and we want certain combinations of oils to make certain type of flavours and that sort of thing. So there's a lot of innovation going on in the agricultural sector.
Yeah.
With, you know, the new varieties that are coming out. So you see what's happened in the States with varieties like, you know, Citra and Mosaic and Simcoe and all sorts of stuff. In Australia, you know, we've got Galaxy and Ella,
Vic Secret,
Summer,
yeah.
Vic Secret's a new one out. Enigma, which my next beer comes out next week, uses the new Enigma variety.
What's the beer? I didn't know the beer coming out.
Yeah, it's
a bit of an Enigma.
It's called Salt Dick IPA.
Oh, yes, I've heard about this.
Oh, yeah, I heard it, yeah.
So... It's a beer that I did with Stu from Magic Rock out of the UK.
I use this as a trivia question at Ale Stars.
Yeah. And so, well, you know what Saltic means then.
Yeah.
So basically it's an IPA that uses the new Australian Enigma variety, and it also uses an old world, it uses Pilgrim, which is an old school English bittering hop,
like,
which
we
used as an
Stu
aroma hop.
Coming together and...
We actually talked about it for about 3 months before we actually brewed the beer. And it's called Salt Dick because one foot's in Australia, the other foot's in England, and it's dicks hanging in the Indian Ocean. That's why it's called, you know, just gravity take care of it.
Yeah.
So, and it was actually named after a mate of mine who actually lives in Huddersfield where Magic Rock is.
Yeah, yeah.
And... it's funny how life works this way, and so he and I, my mate Daz and I, were actually born on the same day, the same year. Born on the same day. And when he was living in Perth and I was living in Perth, everyone called him Salt Dick, because when he was in Australia, he would affiliate with being English, because he used to watch a lot of soccer and that sort of thing you know, back then. And then when... he was in England, he would identify as
being
Australian. So that's why we just said, fuck it, you're a fucking Salt Dick, mate. And so it's kind of funny how it all sort of come together like 10 years later.
Yeah.
And here's a beer that's brewed with a brewer who's from Huddersfield, where my very good old friend is. And we called it Salt Dick.
That's cool. Yeah.
Actually, I told him a few weeks ago that I decided not to call it Salt Dick. He actually doesn't know it's called Salt Dick. Probably should let him know.
Yeah.
I'm sure he doesn't listen to the podcast.
So I'm sending some over to Stu at Magic Rock. And Stu was just a a great guy to brew with. He's I all brewers have this mutual, you know, respect.
It's a brotherhood sort of thing. Yeah, and, yeah. Well, not just brothers, you know, but it's
Stu's
a family
so chilled
thing. Yeah.
He's so chilled. He's just, I'm so fucking hyper and tense, and he's just so chilled. He's like, yep, that's cool. And I'm like, you know, when we were doing the beer, I was like analyzing every single number. He's like, it's all right, man. We got it. And,
so he found his middle ground and...
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, we had a lot of fun during Good Beer Week. We drank a lot of beer together and that sort of thing. And it was good. So, you know, awesome. Yeah. I'm looking forward to returning the favour and heading over there and doing a beer at Magic Rock. They're moving soon to another part of Huddersfield.
So they've outgrown their facility.
Yeah. So they're moving to a much bigger facility. So I hope to get over there. I hope this year, actually. I'd love
to
get over
there. Well, I mean, that's one of the cool things with being involved with Experience. As well as there's opening all these doors for like guys
so
like you
what,
and
that's
Doc.
That's what Doc was saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Doc did his collab with Six Point. I got to do one with Magic Rock. So,
yeah.
Johnny and Kerry, who run Experience it, you know, they're connected globally with all these amazing brewers.
We've sung their praises many times. Yeah, like, yeah.
And, you know, that was one of the reasons why I chose to go with them, because I started Brew Cult not to be an Australian thing. This is meant to go global.
Cool.
That's my objective for Brew Cult, is it's going to be a global brand one day. And because I think that there's enough beer geeks in the world that if, you know, like, you know, some of the, you know, you think about the big global beer geek brewers out there, you think of McKellar and Evil Twin and Brewdog and all that sort of stuff. That's what I aspire to. That's what I want to do. That's the sort of beers that I want to bring.
And I think with the beers you're doing, you know, like Pepper Steak Porter and Acid Freaks and, you know, your psychedelic series, they're absolutely, I've always said this, they are absolutely as good as, if not better than, you know, most of the beers I have from those international guys.
Yeah, you have to be, you know, innovative and that's what I want to do, you know, but I want to make innovative beers, but I want to make them well and get them out to the world stage. So, like, I'm really looking forward to going to Beervana next month, because I'm sending, like last year I sent one beer.
Yeah.
I sent Acid Freaks over to Beervana. This year I'm sending three.
What are you sending?
Sending Saltic IPA. Yeah.
Your
dick's in the Tasman, not the Indian Ocean.
I like how you can't say that beer without not having a straight face. Like,
it's like Saltic IPA. So sending that, and the reason I'm sending that is Stu from Yeasty Boy is a huge Magic Rock fan. I've got Can't Fight the Funk. He's back in the tank at the moment.
Great. Right. Yes.
Yeah. So that's coming out in the next 2 to 4 weeks, and that sort of thing, depends on when it's ready. But I'm pulling a couple of kegs out of the tank sort of early and carbonating them up in the keg just to get them ready to send over. So, and then Pepper Steak Porter is also going as well.
Awesome.
So I was really honoured to be invited by Yeasty Boys. So remember during Good Beer Week, they had the catfish.
Yeah.
Yeasty Boys presents pop-up bar thing.
Oh, the ATP Festival of Beers. Yeah.
And so they had all these brewers from New Zealand that weren't distributed in Australia that people got to try those beers. And so what they're doing during Beervana is they're flipping it around the other way. So they're bringing all these Australian brewers
that
aren't distributed in New Zealand.
That's great.
And they're bringing it to Wellington during you know, Beervana week.
Yeah. That's incredible.
And they asked me, and I just went, what?
That's a very humbling thing, man. Yeah.
It was so awesome.
That's
great.
That's great.
Yeah.
So I'm there.
Congratulations, man. That's
sick.
Yeah,
thank you. Yeah. I'm so stoked. And, you know, I'm just blown away by it.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
I just bought my tickets, my flights, so I'll see you there.
I wish I could go.
Yeah.
Bastards.
I haven't actually bought my Beervana tickets.
It's going to be
yet,
a big week.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm going over there because, you know, not only for that and spending the week over there, but just to network with the the Kiwi Brewers as well.
Yeah, cool.
You know, I love all the mats from Parrot Dog, and I love I love what Garage Project are doing. Now, they blow my mind, those guys. You know, and
did you have their Gab's their beer?
The beer called beer.
It's called beer.
No,
it had a.
So was it on their bar?
It was on their bar. Yeah.
Oh no.
So it was just, white label. It Garage Project said in big capital letters, beer, and
what
it was just a pale lager, 4.5% pale lager, and it was fucking incredible.
No,
it's,
there's
it was
a whole
great.
Bunch of of their beers coming into Australia, like as we speak. Yep. So. Umami and all those stuff.
Oh,
so,
man, I love that Umami monster. That was.
Could you drink
crazy.
A bottle of it though?
No.
Could you drink a
500
ml bottle?
I got through a glass at the tap house. Yeah. A 330. Yeah. So I could share one with someone else.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But that's.
You don't drink that beer. You eat it.
Yeah, you do. You
well, it's like I wanted to touch quickly on Sourfest in Good Beer Week and the incredible things that you did to blow my mind.
How cool was that?
Oh, it was like. I wouldn't say it was the most enjoyable beers I've had, but it's the most educational beers I've had for a very long time.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that in any disrespect. Yeah. I think that's exactly what you're aiming for.
Of course.
But, yeah, that was a really fucking cool event.
So, to recap for your listeners, I did 3 beers for Sourfest, and they're all pseudo-sours, so they're all fake sours, so no bacteria involved in the production. It was just basically a saison, straight up 90% Pilsen malt, 10% wheat malt, 15 IBU saison, and I brewed them out at 7 Cent out in South Gisborne, just outside of Melbourne, and we dosed up the beers with 3 different types of acid. So my motivation behind it was, like, a lot of beer geeks love sour beers, and they go, oh, sour, it's awesome. But I was kind of saying, well, there's different types of sour, and all those sours come from different types of acid. So I did lactic acid, acetic acid, which is vinegar, and malic acid. And I don't think a malic acid beer had been done before.
Is that something you'd ever do, like a release? Is that
maybe?
malic acid is
that from apples or is,
Okay? So yeah, like, it's from fruit.
Yeah.
So it's commonly created during wine fermentation.
Okay.
So during wine fermentation, you have like a malolactic fermentation, which is a secondary fermentation where a bacteria eats the malic acid, which is quite harsh, turns it into lactic acid, which is much softer. So malic acid. You know, for your listeners, is if you've ever had one of those Warhead lollies and they're really fucking sour, that's malic acid.
Right.
And that was what was in that particular
and it
beer.
It comes in a powder form?
Yeah.
Yep.
Stupidly, when we were making the beers, it wouldn't dissolve in the beer really readily, so we had to make a hot water solution and then dissolve
diluted,
it like
that.
And stupidly, like, I decided to try the concentrated malic acid thing.
Oh, dear.
And I remember when I just, like, I took, like, the fucking tiniest sip. What's this like? Sip. And it just went down, and you just feel the burn. Just burn all the way down, and I went, oh, shit, I think I've hurt myself. And I was like, I just ran
Might
for the water. I was just like bombing
pints
of water and that sort of thing. But yeah, fuck, man. Don't drink concentrated malic acid. You're a dickhead if
you do. So what did we all think of the hop and fart?
It was good.
Yeah, I liked it.
I like it. Look,
got like a grassy rock melon.
It's not, I don't find it fruity, like the North American or Kiwi Australian hops and that sort of thing. But that's not what German hops are known for.
But
known for their herbaceous characteristics.
But it didn't have also those, you know, those kind of flavours you'd associate with, like, your noble hops and your old kind of. It had some of them, but not in that kind of way. It did have, you know, I quite liked it.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I'd actually like to use some of those hops
again
with something else
to
try and create something.
I hadn't
kind of
read the blurb about this beer before I'd heard about it, so I kind of, in my mind, imagined it to be some sort of like Hefeweizen IPA sort of a thing.
Mm.
So I guess I'm a little disappointed that's not what it is, but it's actually really nice.
No, American IPA with German hops.
Yeah.
It's something that needed to be done, I think.
Yeah, I think it's cool.
I think it's well cool.
Yeah.
And it's fart with an H.
Yeah.
And the dude on the...
Even though there's a hop, like there's a dude... Like,
farting that, hops. Yeah.
Farting. Hops. Fart, I think, means journey or to travel. To, yeah, to go somewhere. Kind of, yeah. Yeah.
Farin is the verb to go.
Farting hops is some sort of journey for the hops, isn't it?
I drink enough IPA to fart hops.
It was a journey for the hops, you know.
Yeah.
The hops actually travel. That's what that through your body. It's like travelling hops travel.
Ask kind of thing. Hours,
something like that. I know, I'm not very good at German. I'm studying.
So what have we got now?
Well, what do we have
well,
now?
We've been talking about it before the whole episode.
Yeah, we've been served the main course today.
So it's the Mistake Porter.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
2 years in the making, this beer. I am so stoked to have this beer.
Without pulling a chain, this is my favourite beer at Gabs. This is the one at the end. Because I, unlike everyone else, I actually tried to do all the Gabs beers. And so I did all of them. And then at the end, on the last day, when I'd finished, I went and had a full glass of Pepper Steak Porter.
Yeah. I did too.
It's fucking awesome.
It's great. It's
pretty out there. It's, do you know, like, when I did the pilot batches, or the one that I brought up for Sydney Craft Beer Week year before last, like, I had some of that left over, and I took it up to Brisbane for an event that I was doing at the Scratch Bar in Brisbane. And so there was these people who had never drunk craft beer before, and they got a Pepper Steak Porter, and that batch, it's identical beer.
Yeah.
More pepper, though.
Yeah.
And I'm getting the pepper now.
I'm getting the pepper.
And there was this guy, I remember him, and it was his epiphany beer.
Nice.
Everyone has an epiphany
That's awesome.
Beer.
Yeah.
And normally it's like Little Creatures Pale or fucking Alpha or, you know, Hop Hog or something like that. But
I'd love
this
to
guy's,
see
this guy is on his, I don't even know it's where hard. This guy is now.
Yeah, so I don't know where do you go from, like, where do you go from
he's
there?
He's on his craft beer journey now, having an absolute ball. And someone's going to ask him, what was your epiphany beer? And he's going to say, Pepper Steak Porter.
It's going to be either that, or he's going to be in some alleyway in Brisbane with fucking some peppercorns and a spoon and a lighter on it, trying to cook them up, because he just can't get that experience anymore.
Yeah. Well, now he can.
But the thing is, you know, for beer geeks and that sort of thing, sometimes an extreme beer is your epiphany beer. My old man, my dad, what do you reckon his epiphany beer is?
I know.
The guy's fucking 74 years old. He's really old.
Cantillon.
No.
McKellar.
McKellar Beer Geek Brunch Weasel.
Yes. That's amazing.
It was a fucking $60 bottle of beer at the fucking tap house in St. Kilda.
Yeah.
And that was his epiphany beer. Do you know why? Because he says, I like Guinness, I like dark beers. I said, well, fucking try this.
Yeah.
And that's what he tried.
What
and
is
he just goes, he go, and he drank it, and he just looks at me, and looks me dead in the eye, and he just goes, now I totally understand. It was so cool.
Yeah.
And I went, thank you.
What does he think of this one, of Pepper Steak Porter? Is he...
Actually, I don't know if he's tried it. Oh. I should send some up to him.
You know what I really like about the pepper steak? It's you get that real green peppercorn, which is like when you're making a proper sauce for a pepper steak, which is what you use. Yeah. Like, yeah.
But it's also got, like, I get, like, after that pepper... I think that smokiness
and the spice comes through.
And it's like almost like a barbecue saucy kind of flavour. And
it's incredible. Like, I remember, I think it was maybe on the Ale of a Time podcast when you were talking
before
about
it.
Yeah. And I was wondering, like, how are you going to get that meat character coming through?
But, So the meat isn't actually meat. That's why it's vegan. And it comes from smoke malt. So here's a little tidbit of information for you. This beer and Southern Bay Metalhead Robust Porter are the same beer. But for changing out the base malt.
Wow.
So I basically changed the base malt out for cherry wood smoked malt.
And the peppercorns.
And the peppercorns,
as well, obviously. And so you know, I love the fact that there's that similarity. They're not the same beer. It's like, I love the fact that, though, that you can have a beer that looks the same, but it's tastes.
All I've
done is I've changed one ingredient.
Yeah.
And it's just changed the... That's my thing at the moment. Change one ingredient and make it an entirely new experience.
Yeah.
And so that's what Pepper Steak Porter is. Mm-hmm. And so you're not going to see this beer very much, because I had to organise 4 months in advance to get the half ton.
Who smoked the malts for this batch?
It's come out of a maltster out of the US.
So they've smoked it for you?
Yeah.
Was that a hard thing to do, to organise?
Well, it was hard to procure.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Is like,
did you ask them, I want you to smoke it this
time? No, I asked my supplier to give me 3/4 of a ton, and they went, what the fuck? And I said, I want 3/4 of a ton of this. They said, we don't sell 3/4 of a ton in a year.
Fucking
I said,
get
yeah,
it.
I'm going to smash it in one batch, all right?
Yeah, yeah.
And So
you will brew it again?
No. Yes, I will.
But
if
it won't be a
lot of ducks
sort of
have to
thing.
Line up in
yeah,
order to
yeah.
do this again. Because it just the requirement and the damage to the greenhouse effect of smoking that much more, you know. Oh my god, it's just
it's
amazing.
It's kind of like
so
it's
a
like
vegan beer experience, but it's not a yeah. it's not a green beer experience.
No, god, yeah. no.
That's what makes it so good. All these vegans are like, oh yeah, I'm gonna drink this beer. Like,
but I love a beer. I love this beer because it gets people talking, and that's
it does.
That's why I do this thing with brew holders. I just like to make beers that just get people talking. I don't care if you like the beers or not.
Yeah,
it doesn't bother me. I prefer, you know, if you don't like the beer, tell me, it's cool.
Yeah.
If it's faulty, definitely tell me.
Yeah.
But, you know, there were people who really raved about it. Some people didn't like it. That's okay. And I find it very reminiscent of, like, Rex Attitude.
Yeah.
That was a beer that got a lot of people talking, because that was a very polarizing beer.
You can't sit on the fence with Rex Attitude.
No.
Like...
No,
I've never seen anyone go, what do you think of Rex?
Okay.
you have a very strong opinion about it.
Fuck yeah, what do you?
I love it. I love Rex Attitude.
I love it. Yeah,
we're all on the record as loving it.
I like really peaty whiskies.
Yeah,
and
it gives me a fucking giddy school.
Yeah,
you know, it's I love that beer. But I love the feedback that's
amazing. Yeah,
and you know, I love the fact that I think Stu said to me once that. The best feedback he got about Rex Attitude was like this: someone actually wrote a letter, I think it was, that said this beer is like licking the armpit of a fat security guard as he's about to finish his all-night shift and it's 5 o'clock in the morning. And I just went, "Wow!" Someone actually went to that effort to
write
but that's
that.
A fucking win if you can put that image into someone's mind.
You know, you've had
your
an
product,
on
you've done
exactly,
something
right,
man. Like whether they like it or not, like fuck.
But I think it's if everyone's saying that much negative stuff about it, maybe that's a problem. But with Rex Attitude, it's 50-50 pretty much, isn't it?
But the thing is, if I'm at so work and I stock Rex when I can, and someone picks it up, that if I don't know them and I don't know their where they are in their craft beer journey, if they pick that up, I'm not going to say you shouldn't buy that beer. I'm just going to go, hey, out of interest, do you like peated whiskies, or do you like no, I hate that. It's like, look, maybe that's not going to be the beer for you. I'm not going to tell you not to buy it. I'm just going to tell you this is what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
If you want to try it, I think you should try it, but I don't want you to buy it if you're not going to enjoy it.
Sure.
Yeah. Unless you're willing to accept that you might not like this beer.
Yeah.
And
it's the same with Pepper Steak Porter. It's like, it's not to everybody's taste, but that's okay, you know?
Because when I got Pepper Steak in and people were like, what the fuck's this? I'm like, fucking try it. It's like, is it good? It's like, look, I really like it.
How's the feedback been?
Do you like Pepper Steak?
Do you like Pepper Steak, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, people love it. Like, and what I was saying about why I like the label is people who wouldn't normally buy, I wouldn't say maybe... your level of craft beer of like, you know, experimental style beers, look at them and they really want to try it and they go, what the fuck's this? I'm like, dude, try it. It's like, what is it like? It's like, it tastes like a pepper steak, man. Does this, and like, is it good? It's like, I like it. You try it and tell me what you think. Like, should I get it? It's like, fuck yeah, get it. And they're like, alright, cool. Like, yeah, so I think that's what I was saying. It all comes together. It works. Like,
definitely.
People look at that in the fridge and go, what the fuck is that?
And it's also beers like this that people who drink beer, and when they say they drink beer, you know, they just drink regular old, you know, VB, Carlton Draft, and they don't, you know, some beers like Stone and Wood, they might find too sweet, or stuff like that, but something like this, they're like, wow, beer can have a flavour that isn't, you know...
Beer flavour,
exactly. Mm. And yeah, I think that is a huge step for people to realise to their, and then that's where you start the journey, right?
Yeah, of course. Well, and that's why I was just, somebody's epiphany beer out there, you know?
It's great.
So,
It should be someone's epiphany beer. It's a great... It's what it should be. Like, yeah.
I had somebody in last week who ordered a bottle of the 2 meter tall Derwent, the aromatic spelltail, okay, they call it, which I'm just going to say is tasting really funky. It's like really kind of that Orval type funk, Brett funk to it. It's amazing. And he was having it, and he was like, "What the hell is that? I didn't know beer could have that flavor in it." And it's kind of like, you know, what you're saying about, mm-hmm, you know, pepper steak porter.
Was he pretty new on his journey?
Yeah, well, I hope so, yeah. Like, he seemed really excited.
You need to go, "That's horse blanket, baby."
Yeah. I may have mentioned the word horse blanket in the conversation.
I had a friend of mine who's not I've known forever, and she's not a beer geek, and she and I gave her some Cantillon Brett and sour fucking beer, and she goes, "This beer tastes like barnyard piss," and I said, "Yes, that's that."
Yeah,
yeah. It's that.
We wankers use the word horse blanket, but yeah, that's.
Well, I was talking to a guy who comes to my store every now and again. And the guy's called Mike Benny, and he's like a really big wine writer. And he's a young guy.
I talked to him on the phone the other day.
Yeah, that kind of would have been because of me, but yeah. But he had a chat to me because he's doing an article about craft beer, and he's just started getting into craft beer, and he's a 50 beers Cantillon.
Yeah.
Because he was doing a wine gig, and he went to Belgium and went to Cantillon, and is now he's this is a guy who used to drink fucking tinnies of Rio Bravo cans for $30 a slab, and he's now like coming in and getting stuff like to all brown paper bag or getting, you know.
I think it's good that he is drinking that style of beer, and for a wine guy to drink a Brett beer, that's a big step. Because my brother is a winemaker, and he
well, like
he
I've
still
mentioned
considers
this before.
Brett to
like,
be a fault.
It is, because I've mentioned this on the podcast before, that Brett in the winemaker world is such a bad thing. But like, you know, I always say that
tears,
beer nerds,
beer nerds
get a heart on when they hear the word Brett. Brett.
So these,
but yeah, so
like,
yeah,
no, like,
I really like
it's
the
interesting.
Fact that
my brother just can't, like, I try and get him to drink all these awesome beers, he can't get his head past it. He just has this, you know, he's got the blinkers on going, "Brett is a fault, Brett is a fault, Brett is a fault." But I think Brett is an ingredient.
Yeah.
And it imparts its own qualities
to a beer,
whether you like it or not. I like
it. So it's cool, yeah. And, you know, I like seeing people like someone like that who's, like, in the wine world so far developed beyond anywhere I could imagine to be, but then him going, finding something like Cantillon, which is the exact opposite of what he should be into.
Yeah,
that's going, that's fucking amazing. Yeah,
and can I just say, for the beer geeks out there, Brett is not sour.
No,
thank you.
It's funk.
It's funk.
One other thing I wanted to talk to you about was about the whole Cavalier scene. In my opinion, I think what's happened at Cavalier with letting guys like yourself and others get tank space there has created this whole microcosm of a beer scene within a beer scene. And I think, like, the Cavalier should be regarded as almost like a category of brewers in itself that's doing some really fucking cool things. I think you guys are fast becoming at the forefront of the Australian craft beer scene.
Sure.
How did that develop? And
yeah, so
what's your thoughts on that?
It developed because I've worked with the Cavalier boys for as long as I've been in existence, pretty much. So whilst I was still at Otway Estate, they approached the owners of Otway Estate, said, you know, they were doing 100-litre batches of their beers in Heath's garage in Pasco Vale.
Yeah.
And they got in touch with Otway Estate and said, "Can we make some beer? We need to make more beer. Can we make 1,000 litres at yours?" And they said, "Yeah, sure, why not?" So they effectively got put under my wing at Otway Estate. So I trained them up on how to
brew to scale,
brew bigger batches of beer, do it safely, do it properly, make the beer well, and that sort of thing. And so we've actually, you know, Heath, Andrew, and Steve, we've worked together over the years. You know, they've done the odd batch out at Southern Bay and that sort of thing when I was there. So we have a very, very long-standing brewing and business relationship. And I love those guys. And so when they were building their own brewery, they said to me, you know, "Well, if you ever want to put a tank in and release your own product under your own brand, why don't you give it a nudge?" And I went, okay. And so when I finished up at Southern Bay, I said, yeah, well, let's do this. And originally what was supposed to happen at Cavalier was that it was only supposed to be me as the only subtenant. So there was going to be 6 33,000-litre tanks.
Yep.
They were going to have three. I was going to have three. I didn't have the funding to be able to afford three tanks. Yep. I could only afford one.
Yeah.
And so they sort of threw it open to some other people. And so it was like Nat and Callum from...
Kaiju.
Well, at the time it was Monster Mash, but it's Kaiju beer. Bought a tank. And my mate, Darren, who I studied with when I was doing the brewing degree at Ballarat, also bought a tank. But Daz didn't use his tank, so I kind of started using his tank and that sort of thing. So that's how I kind of wound up with two. And I bought the tank off him at the end of last year. And then they had room for another six tanks. So I'd also worked whilst I was at Southern Bay doing Killer Sprocket Amber Ale with Sean Ryan. I like Sean, and I like his beer, because it's a session beer that's made in a pretty innovative way.
We haven't had a chance to get a lot of Killer Sprocket.
Warners gets it direct out of Melbourne.
Yeah.
But you don't see it in general regular supply.
Yeah,
it should be, but it's
great
beers.
Because
we had their Peter Pale.
So all these brewers I've actually worked with really closely on their own product. So I kind of think of it like being like I'm a silent partner. What I call the rookie brewers. So, Nat's a very, very fucking... Nat from Kaiju, very, very talented brewer.
Mm.
Won a fucking trophy at Beer Awards this year.
Yeah, fucking amazing.
That guy's amazing.
Yeah.
Never actually worked in a commercial brewhouse setting before.
That's crazy.
And so, you know, when we're at Beard Lux afterwards and he's carrying around his trophy, aka bong, because that's what he's doing. Yeah. He's using it like a bong, and
to drink beer.
And he and his brother Callum come up to me and said, "You know, this wouldn't have happened without you." So what I, you know, we have a very collaborative environment at Cavalier.
I think is what's making that scene so important.
A lot of the what I call the rookies in there they're learning. Like, a lot of them are home brewers who've gone pro. Like, Nat's a very talented brewer. I don't consider, you know, Nat to be a rookie anymore now that he's got a fucking trophy under his belt. Very talented home brewer who's gone pro and done it very well. Sean from Killer Sprocket, who's a home brewer, who's gone pro, doing it very well. Exit Brewing. I love what the Exit Boys are doing. And... Mrs. Palmer's have a tank in there. Palmer restaurant.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
So they wanted to do their own in-house beer, so they're doing that.
It's a really cool way of going about it.
So basically, Cavalier's full. Yeah. It's full now. It can't house any more tanks. Which presents some interesting production and capacity issues for Brewcult. Which I'm thinking about now.
Mm.
But I like the fact that we're all working together
and
we help each other. And I've been away for 2 weeks and all the guys there know that I was fucking stressed out and needed to take a break. So, you know, I've had beers fermenting away. And so Nat, who's a fucking great guy and I love him to bits, has been looking after my beer from a quality perspective.
That's cool.
And he dry hopped it the other day. And he's, you know, it's ready to go.
Yeah.
Adding malic acid to it. And
doing all sorts of fucked up shit to it.
pouring balsamic vinegar. So
it's very collaborative. And then it's Cavalier, Brewcult, Kaiju, Killer Sprocket, Mrs. Palmer's, Exit, who all own tanks. So they're stakeholders in the brewery. And then there's the guest brewers, as I call them, that come in. So you've got Dainton, Boneyard, all the Two Birds, Taco, that you've ever seen thus far, has been coming out of Cavalier. All the bottle product has all come out of Cavalier. That kind of adds to what's
this family
going on there.
Yeah.
So we all rely on each other. And we all help each other, and I'm more than happy to put in the time that's necessary for all the guys who are there to help them make beer well.
Yeah. Mm.
And a lot of the guys who are homebrewers who have suddenly found themselves pro owning some stainless steel in a brewery, you know, are having to deal with the issues of being a commercial brewer. Yeah. Like, is this beer ready to package? Do I have my bottles and caps and labels and boxes and pallets and freight and cash and all that sort of thing need to make beer? Now they're having to think about the things that I think about on a daily basis, mm-hmm. like second nature. And they love it, and they're grateful, and look at the fucking beers are coming out.
I think Kaiju's like...
Killer Sprocket Amarel in particular is one that I think is a real... It's an awesome story, because when I made it at Southern Bay with Sean, it would never turn out the way that I wanted it, or the way that Sean wanted it. It was a good beer, but it wasn't the great beer that I wanted it to be.
That it could be.
But doing it out of Cavalier, out of a modern brewery and that sort of thing, man, that beer is good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a really good beer. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. So, yeah, I get called the godfather of Cavalier because I help everyone out. And I'm kind of like, I get called the godfather or the sergeant at arms because if they're a
clean your tank,
no safety. So if they're doing, I'm a nut for safety in the brew house.
You know,
given my history. So if I see safety issues in the brewery,
people are gonna know about it.
I'm fucking yelling and screaming, saying, get your shit together. You know, like you got to go home to your family at night and that sort of thing.
You can't do it minus an arm.
It's important. It's good fun. It's a really low barrier of entry into the beer market. So basically, I had Brewcult from the point where I said I'm going to start Brewcult.
Yeah.
To actually having Acid Freaks and Hop Zone produced and out the door, and liquor licensing and regulatory and insurance and all that sort of stuff. 9 weeks.
That's crazy. Man.
Nine weeks.
So do you think that should be something that? Is a model that other places should use, do you reckon, or
the 9 week?
I mean,
model?
Like you're lucky where a lot of things fell into place with the thing, like having that space at Cavalier.
Because I feel that there's a chance of that happening in Sydney. You know, I think Batch as a brewery
are developing a similar
thing. Like they're doing that sort of thing. Yeah,
and
Young Henry's was like that.
They did
they,
it, and then now they can't.
Neither. Yeah. The
there's always going to be.
Well, Rocks is very much like that. If
Rocks
guys,
does it as well, so you know you got. Okay, so some of the breweries that I see that are doing that sort of thing where one brewery helps another brewing company get started. So Young Henry's here with, you know, Grifter and Doc and that sort of thing. Then you've got Batch that are doing the
shenanigans
and shenanigans. But then again, you look at what Feral's doing in WA. It's like it's Feral and Nail, and they cohabitate a brewery, and they have a JV company that does the production, but they all make a contribution
to each other.
So craft beer has always been a collaborative experience.
But do you think what's happening at a Cavalier is everyone's raising everyone else's standards, not just you, but like these guys are raising your standards, and that what's coming out of there is what's coming out of there is like this step above everyone else at the moment.
I learn lots because like when here's the thing, right? So when Nat came to me and I said what's your Gabs beer gonna be, and he goes, I'm gonna do this fucking double imperial black IPA called Where Strides the Behemoth.
And I said
tell me about it, and he described the beer to me, and I said
can't be done.
I said, you can't do that here. And he says, yeah, fuck it, man. I'm going to do it. That's just...
And he fucking did it,
didn't
he?
He's crazy. Yeah. He just goes, yep, I'm going to do it. You know? And he spends an inordinate amount of money on raw materials.
Oh, the amount of hops that guy uses, man.
Like,
insane.
Oh, my God. Like I'm... You know, I kind of like to think that I've got some sense of balance and that sort of thing, but
financial,
that's just like, fucking that sort of thing. And so when he described this beer that he was going to make, and I just went,
nah.
No, that's not going to happen here. Now, I didn't say no.
I said, that's going to be
but
very
I said,
hard.
I said, the role I like to play is not to stop people from innovating, but to say, okay...
How are you want to do
think
that?
About how's that? It going to happen?
Yeah.
And he was talking about it being, I think originally he was talking about it being 13%. And the yeast strain that he was going chosen to use for it doesn't go to 13%. And I said, well, that ain't going to happen. So how are you going to do it? He goes, well, I suppose I'll just brew it, and wherever the alcohol works out, it works out. Like, okay, that's fine. You know, if you're prepared to make that compromise and have it work out that way, and what did it work out being 11 something?
11 or 12.
Is, yeah. Which is the well beyond pretty high, what that yeast strain was well capable of, so I don't know how he did it.
Yeah.
And, you know, he made that fucking beer and behemoth.
It is behemoth. It was
a cracker.
Right? And when they make their beers, they have issues with packaging all the time. I'm pretty sure you would have seen there's actual bits of hop in the bottle and that sort of thing, and for me that's a real no-no, and you know Nat's like, yep, that's a real no-no, so we're working on ways of stopping that from happening because it affects shelf life and stuff like that. The whole, I love the fact that Nat wants to press the limits of that brew house,
because if you don't do it, the rest of you guys are learning about.
And then that's what you can do.
I learn.
Yeah.
You know, I'm learning about what it's capable of how you do it and that sort of thing. Because I've got beer ideas that I want to do.
Because the whole thing is, like, once one of you guys break one of those boundaries, it paves the way for the rest of you guys to go, oh, cool, this is what this is what we can then now do here.
I love what Kaiju's doing. Yeah, I love what Exit are doing. And you need to get their beers.
Well,
definitely. We might just take a quick break.
Do you
grab
need
the
to
next
pee?
Beer.
No, we need to get beer.
No, I'm empty. And I think we all are. So.
Yeah. Well, I need to pee.
You don't have to stay here.
I need to pee.
We'll grab the next beer, and then we'll come back in just a second. So.
All right.
Right, we're back and we've got our next beer. This is the Othello's Curse Imperial Black IPA,
Double Black IPA,
Big Black IPA.
Big Black IPA. That's,
I love Riverside beers.
Yeah, so do I.
Awesome.
They're awesome.
This is Riverside.
There's a reason why you two are sitting on that side.
Dave Patton's just such a great brewer who I admire and respect. In fact, my 2014 top five for the hottest 100 craft beers.
Yep.
77.
Yeah.
How could you not have it in there?
Brilliant beer. Yeah. Amazing.
But my friends in Melbourne don't get to try Riverside beers.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas for us,
and
it's
so I, yeah, exactly. It's like a daily occurrence thing. It's like, oh, what'd you have for breakfast? I had 77. Yeah. And
44 for me.
And I love that I get to get up here often enough to drink those beers. So it's particularly
off
tap.
Have you been out to the brew house?
No. I need to go. They're running the old Mountain Goat.
Yeah, it is.
Do you know the funny thing about, like, historically speaking, with that particular brew house? The first time I met Jane Lewis from
Two Beds. Mm.
Was when she was in the mash tun digging it out. And I lent her a racking cane so she could get some beer out of a barrel. So I was like, was when I was working at Otway.
Yeah.
And I brought this racking cane on the train and they thought it was a weapon. And so I took it to Jane. I said, oh, Jane, I've got, you know, it's Twitter. I got this racking cane for you. That's the thing she's digging out. Anyway, a lot of history in that brew house.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool. But I do, I do love, you know, Riverside, and you know, on this visit, I'm really loving the beers that are coming out of Sydney at the moment. I'm hugely impressed.
I think, we're very proud of the beers.
We were talking about Red Oak before. Those beers really impressed me yesterday when I tried them. I had the Pixel APA, which is great. Young Henry's, like, their beers were always good, and now they've got Sam as the head brewer. Those beers,
I was trying some of those beers yesterday.
I tried the New Towner,
and
apparently it's had a bit of a tweak to the recipe and that sort of thing.
I haven't had it for a while
And I just went, that's a great beer.
I was down at Young Henry's yesterday in like Saturday afternoon. Food trucks out the front.
Great.
It's fucking packed. Literally, it took us 20 minutes to find a barrel that we could just rest our beers on.
Yep.
And it was full the whole time we were there all afternoon. But I had their Fresh Six, which is the agave rye pale they did with Front End Loader.
Yep.
And it was from the original brew. They had a keg lying around they put on. Yep. Which fucking tasted
amazing. You know
what amazing.
I did? Yeah, like on Friday night, it was like, because, you know, brewers get locked in there and that sort of thing. That's all quality control.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And so I had a black and tan of Fresh Six and the agave
coffee
stout.
Coffee is my...
Yeasty Boys.
Coffee is my cactus.
Yeah. Coffee is my cactus. Yeah. My coffee is cactus, I think.
Yeah. Coffee is cactus.
And so a black and tan of that and Fresh Six.
Wow.
And it was like the double agave black and tan. Yeah, yeah. It's pretty delish.
Well, by the time
you can't check that shit on Untappd.
Oh, really? Yeah. No. We can create it, can't you? Yeah. It's not actually a beer, though, is
it?
No,
that's right.
Yeah.
Untappd takes black and tans down.
Yeah.
They'll delete it.
I mean, yeah, by the time I left this afternoon, they'd run out of Fresh Six and the Yeasty Boys collab.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, which I think we had somewhat of a part to play, seeing as we put Stu in a very good frame of mind before he brewed that beer.
Oh, really?
We did an episode with Stu the day before he brewed that. We're at the tap house in the little Wilfred's room. It was a fucking bumper episode. We went for like 2.5 hours.
We came back with
just a box of like 12 things, and we drank all of them, and they were just big bottles of Belgian, you know, and it just, we went fucking insane.
I think we finished with like a Aurora Borealis and a couple of an abstract and a, like, yeah, it was,
yeah, that was the lineup, and it was just
holy
we
shit.
We went crazy, and then we took him to the pump house,
which is like
Gunner Matter on tap regularly, and
Is that
a Brewdog abstract?
Yeah. It was ridiculous.
That and
was
then like after a 15% the pump one. House, we went back to Liam's house.
Dragged him back to mine for whiskeys.
And then we had to...
He might have needed a little nap on my dining room table, but yeah.
And then we put him in a cab at about 2 o'clock in the morning, and the taxi driver was like, I'm not going to take him. It's like, mate, he'll be fine. He's a brewer. He knows how to do this.
He won't spew. He's a brewer. He's a brewer.
just get him at the hotel. It was like...
10-minute walk, yeah.
If that. It was in Surrey Hills, where, you know.
Wow.
But then I was looking at photos in brewing, and he looked fresh and perky, and I'm like, wow, that dude.
Rebound. You got to rebound. You know, if you're going to do this job, you got to rebound.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but, you know, going back to, original topic there, I'm loving what's coming out of the Sydney breweries at the moment.
Good, yeah.
It's you know, I don't want necessarily to see innovative product or crazy ingredients, that sort of thing. It's not what's happening in the Sydney scene. What's happening is really well-made beer.
Yeah.
That's more important.
Mm. But if you look at where I think a lot of city siders are compared to Melbourne people in their beer journey, that's what we need right now.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
We just need well-made, easy drinking beer.
Doesn't have to be easy drinking, but just
I think stuff
I wouldn't call this an easy drinking beer. Like,
No.
Yeah, but this is like a beer,
but,
so
you know,
it's a special one.
Like, you know, one of my big things that I talk to a lot of brewers and a lot of people who are thinking of entering the industry and that sort of thing. And it's like what's happening at Cavalier at the moment. A lot of home brewers going pro, and I kind of call them the new wave, the third wave, I suppose you'd call it, of craft brewers who are
frontiers,
reaching frontiers, and then you get the people who, have a beer education who convert from mainstream beer to becoming a craft brewer, and then now it's home brewers going pro, and you know, quality and the quality management and the things you need to think about, as a professional brewer. That you don't think about as a home brewer are so important, and it's really good to see the third wave here. I've not met the Pixel guys. I don't know the Shenanigans guys. I've never met the Batch guys. I've never met them.
The Shenanigans guys are all really good guys.
I'm sure they are, and I'm looking forward to meeting them during Sydney Craft Beer Week. In fact, I think I'm going to be doing some sort of gypsy brew event at the Union during Sydney Craft Beer Week, which involves those guys. So I'm keen to meet them.
Stomping ground, so yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, what's so important is that, you know, you think about it from the consumer's perspective when they buy craft beer and you're paying a premium for it and that sort of thing. It's got to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? it's got to be good.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
And yeah, yeah, if you fuck that up, particularly for someone that's new, then they'll go back to mainstream beer, and pretty you'll never get them back. Yeah. So
and you get guys like us on their back for fucking it up for everyone else. But yeah,
I think another good thing about all these brewers, like you know, I think Young Henry's and Riverside have done it really well, and Four Pines as well, and Batch is doing it kind of well. They've just started, and I think they're all getting like a really good local following.
Yeah, sure. I think that's the thing,
and they're catering to that kind of like they're servicing their local area before anywhere else. You know, that's probably why you don't see it in.
Yeah,
Melbourne
is
often.
And the thing is like, you know, I hadn't even mentioned what I consider the stalwarts of craft beer in Sydney, which is like Four Pines. And you know Murray's and Nomads that's opening up and that sort of thing. These guys, you know, they know what they're doing already, and that's great. And the good thing is that you know I had a beer with Tweeds the other day at
Four
Rocks.
Pines,
And, you know, he's just like, we're just making the awesome beer.
Yeah.
We're doing it well. We're focused on quality.
Consistency.
And we're focused on safety. We had a bit of a chat about safety and that sort of thing as well. And they're just doing it right. And if they can share that knowledge across the other brewers in Sydney, then that's going to benefit...
I think there is a lot of that.
The consumers, you know.
Well, I mean, when we went over to Brookvale to have a trip with the Four Pines guys was just before the announcement of Nomad. And those guys were so fucking excited that there's going to be another brewery in the area that they can, you know...
We actually had to hold off releasing the episode a bit because we talked about it when we...
Yeah, they hadn't announced it.
And the Four Pines guys were telling us all about it. Well, and then they were like, oh, maybe we should just hold off a bit through.
I was over at Nomad's... on Thursday, and they got their first beer coming out next week. So the Sideways Pale Ale comes out next week in keg. And I didn't get to try it. I don't think I was ready.
Well, we plan on heading out there pretty fucking soon.
So when I was out there that day, you know, Leonardo's fucking brilliant brewer. You know, beautiful. That's his baby.
Fucking world class.
He's like, world class.
Yeah.
And he's a mate. That's the whole thing about this whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, I was like, hey, Leo, how you going? Hey, and, and like, fucking 12 months ago, like, I'd be like,
oh my god, it's Leo!
Oh my god. It's like, he's just a dude. You know?
Yeah.
And Brooks, you know, because the
Brooks
two
is
of them.
Brooks a fucking legend.
They're both on fucking Brewmasters, so I'd seen him on the TV. So the first time I fucking met them, I was like, giddy schoolgirl moments. I was like, oh my god, it's Brooks and Leo. And it's like, hey, Hendo. Hey, man. And so we don't even care anymore. And, but, you know, I was over there and they were brewing the first batch of their Saison that's going to be in their core range.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool. And the brew house is new and they were having some pretty serious teething problems. And Leo wasn't having a great day, stuck mash, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But I wasn't there to brew, I was there to do some office work and leech their Wi Fi. And, but you know they were getting things done. It's a great brewery. I'm you know with Brooks. Brooks
no
is amazing. Brooks is an amazing guy. He's so calm and quiet, and he knows. We talk about the technical aspect of brewing.
Yeah.
That's what Brooks is. He's a technical shift brewer. That's why Leo's brought him out to be his right hand man.
Yeah, yeah.
You know he did the Italy thing in New York and that sort of thing. Guy knows his shit, you know, from a technical perspective. And so we were talking about how we were making beers and that sort of thing. And I was like, wow, this guy's good. I mean, I'd love to have him as my right hand man. But, you know. And so,
I mean,
there's some
potentially
really...
down the track, you going in and doing something with the guys at Nomad?
To brew a beer with them? Absolutely.
Yeah,
what an honour, you know.
Yeah.
That would be so cool. Yes.
Cool.
Yeah, I'd love to. If I would think aloud on what I would do with something like Leo. So Leo likes to mix wine and beer ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's traditionally done that with Birra del Borgo.
Yeah, really brewing with like Sangiovese musk.
That's right. So I'd love to bring my experience with balsamic vinegar maybe to the mix or something
like that.
And see what we can do.
Do a 3-way collab with your brother as well.
Why not? You know.
Cool.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Sweet. Cool.
Right. Well, we might start wrapping it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've So we might go to our recommendations.
You always do this. What are we actually going to be doing? I need to pull something out of my ass now.
Oh, well, you've got plenty of warning. You knew we were recording an
just
episode.
Anything.
I've been racking something. My brains, like, okay. What am I going to...
Something,
you know?
Something. I'll start off.
Okay, cool.
Another different kind of, I guess, culture thing, a different scene that I think a lot of craft beer nerds actually love as well.
I think, yes.
And that is, I would recommend to get a good bowl of ramen anywhere you are. I'm sure Melbourne would have some. I'm sure, you know, Brisbane and Perth and
I checked that.
Where do you go here in Sydney?
I'm still, like, you know, discovering a lot of them, but the last good place I went to was Gumshara.
Gumshara's great.
And was actually just after we recorded with Stu from Yeasty Boys on the way to the...
Is that same night?
On the way to the pump house, yeah. We were like, oh, we need like a traveller. We need like a, you know, something to fill our stomachs. And we had the thickest broth.
Their broth is like gravy. It's so thick.
It actually like sets the collagen sets on your face when you're sculling the bowl. Yeah.
And your whole face turns into
it's like a face mask. Bright. You just peel it off. Like,
it's
ridiculous. Yeah.
And we were talking I was talking to Tom the other night, and we were like saying, you know, tonkotsu broth is like so in. It's kind of like the IPA of ramen.
Wow.
Yeah. And you know, like when you start drinking craft beer, you go straight for your heavy hitting IPAs.
Heavy-hitting ramen.
Yeah, tonkatsu broth.
That
ramen.
Big porky,
And that's where I am in my ramen journey at the moment.
Yeah, it's right next to where the pump house is.
So okay, cool.
There's a little food court there called Eating World, just opposite the entertainment centre, and it's inside that. It's great ramen.
Their broth is like a 14-hour.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
Back when
and
we
you can't get it in between like 2 and 5 or something.
Yeah, because they have to like...
They have to keep...
Yeah. You know,
they just keep putting more collagen in.
Basically.
Well, it's all pork burns. Yeah. But basically, when we used to work at the pump house, like, we'd see the chef from there, like, 6 o'clock in the morning, he'd be there.
Shit.
When no one else, the whole food court is closed, he's in there doing his tonkatsu broth.
That's what I love about ramen. It's one of those things that... Like, you can try and make it home, but there's no point.
Yeah.
Go to somewhere that does it better. Because
it's kind of like, you know, homebrew ramen versus commercial ramen. I think it's the same kind of thing. Like, these ramen houses in Sydney, and I'm sure everywhere else, are like kind of... They've been doing it for a long time. And especially in Sydney, there's like a kind of ramen war between...
Have you ever had
ramen burger?
Yes,
no, but there is the
yes.
one in Chinatown that does that, isn't there? Yeah, just next to where the Capitol Theatre is.
That
sounds great.
Yeah. It's good. I've seen one on the YouTube. I actually made it at home.
How'd it go?
Yeah, fucked. It was terrible. I ate it anyway. I don't even care.
All right. Do you have a beer recommendation as well? Or?
I don't know. Hop Zone. Hop Zone's pretty good.
Easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all right.
Go, Tom. What's your recommendation, man?
So my non-beer recommendation, I'm going to go with play some board games. That's what I've been.
Oh, great.
I've been pretty fucking into it recently.
I think we'll be doing it tomorrow.
We're gonna have a board game sesh tomorrow. I think I'm going to recommend, if you can, just a super easy game. What to get into it? It's, you know, it's got some familiar kind of mechanics. It's called Small World. So it's like Risk in that, you know, you've got all these different territories and you're trying to compete with everyone. But it's set in like a fantasy world. And you just have these like racial powers and special abilities that just give it another level of strategy. But it's super easy. You sit down, you explain someone the rules, go through one round of play, and everyone knows how to play.
Oh,
and everyone's
cool.
on the same level of strategy.
Oh, I like
and it's
that.
Got beautiful, like, fun art and... if you can't get the actual game, they've got an iPad app as well. I think
that's
you can play online. So.
I tried Dungeons & Dragons once when I was like in grade 8.
Well, I think my
we spent 2 weeks setting up the game, I was like killed within the first 20 minutes.
I was talking about you've got a shitty DM then. My other recommendation was to check out my other non-beer one that I was tossing up, and I'm just going to say it anyway because you brought that up. Is to check out the latest edition of Dungeons & Dragons, which just got released.
Fifth edition.
They've got a free version of the rules online. And so if you have played RPGs before, look at it.
Well,
if you
haven't, find some playing with to... some guys at work, or one of my mates.
Are you
at
saying
work,
I should give Dungeons and Dragons another shot?
I love it.
I've just started playing, and I really fucking dig it, man. Like, one of my mates at work is a massive D&D
and
nerd,
the new edition.
And so we started playing and
read it through, and I hope to start it. I've just pre-ordered the starter box.
And your beer recommendation?
My beer recommendation is I'm going to go Shenanigans Winston.
Oh,
yeah, nice.
What a great beer.
Yeah.
And, had a pint of it the other day at the tap house, and they poured it, put it on the
bar.
What
style is that?
It's a pale.
It's a pale,
it's
but
a strong pale.
But Shenanigans, their two beers have both been quite farmhouse-y.
Yeah.
So it's like a farmhousey pale.
Yeah,
I guess
a little
you
bit
could
of
say.
Somewhat
it's a bit funky.
Yeah. It was like 6.2% or something like that.
Yeah, and it just had, like, the bartender put it down on the bar. And, you know,
the
I was
smell
standing
of it
there,
was
and
amazing,
I could just,
yeah.
I could smell it from as soon as they opened up that tap, and it was, I just loved it. It was fantastic. Yeah. So that's, and yeah, it goes back to, you know, the quality of it was super high as well.
Awesome.
It was
very good.
Yeah. So Hendo, do you have?
Yeah, I got a non-beer recommendation. It's a food recommendation, actually. I went to Mary's in Newtown for the first time.
Yeah.
And have you had the burgers there?
I went in last night and we couldn't get a table, so I've never had a burger from there. Yeah.
Oh my god, my mouth's watering now because I'm just thinking about it. Just get the burger and fries.
Yeah.
In fact, the fried chicken is really good as well.
I hear the fried chicken.
But the burger, my god, it's just like flat. It's a real shitty looking burger, but it's so tasty. You know? And that was totally awesome. It was my first time to Mary's. I know Lou, one of the bartenders there from when she was at Bloodwood and that sort of thing and doing the events there, and it was good to see her again. And but that burger and the fried chicken was just off the hook as well.
Yeah.
My beer recommend and Picklebacks.
Yeah.
I was drinking Picklebacks.
Yes.
And I tried to explain to my brother who makes vinegar what a pickleback is. And he goes, I don't get it. And I went, don't knock it until you try to do it. It's fucking awesome, man. So, trying to tell a vinegar maker that his product can actually be used as an alcoholic side beverage.
Yeah.
He had a bit of trouble with that. He'll be fine. My beer recommendation is particularly for you guys, Sydney siders, is get your hands on some of the exit beers.
Okay.
That the Saison, the 001 Saison, was delicious. It's not, I wouldn't call it, it's not an advanced Saison. It's not funky or anything like that. It's just a good, smashable Saison. And you haven't.
That's great. Yeah.
When was the last time you drank a smashable Saison? Even if you have a DuPont or something like that.
That's
not a smashable beer.
No.
Yeah.
The exit Saison was just so delish. It's all New World hops and that sort of thing. But not a farmhouse IPA. It's more Saison than IPA.
Good.
Their second beer was a Scotch Ale, which was really nice. A little bit of peated malt in there.
Yeah.
And the third one, which I think they were just packing out this weekend, was a milk stout.
Ooh.
So
kicking goals of all
they just
styles,
yeah, they wanted to Fraser and Grum, they're great guys and they just wanted to they met each other I think when they were working in IT over in the UK or something like that.
Sounds about right.
And they
IT,
just
right?
wanted to we're all ex IT, we're all engineers in one way or the other. And they're just making stuff that's kind of interesting and innovative. And their logo is really cool. And
it reminds me of Portal, like the
Portal.
Yeah.
get your hands on some of the exit beers if you want to get it over at yours.
I'll work it out.
And I can help you make the connection there.
Let's
do
it. Yeah, cool.
Awesome.
Save me a six pack.
Yeah.
What's yours, Liam? You've got plenty of time to think now.
We went around this way.
Yeah. Thank you. Going on the food theme. I came very close to going back there yesterday, but they weren't open yet. Is the restaurant called Hearts Yard?
Okay.
Which is
I went there
if
a while ago.
Not
chance,
too far
Hendo,
away from Young Henry's.
It's very, very close to Young Henry's. Close. Yeah, a fucking amazing restaurant. It's they do sort of like that American style food, but it comes from a very, very high grade chef level.
Right.
Been there a couple of times. Food is amazing.
It seems to be the thing lately, the whole American food experience.
Yeah, you know. And it seems very trendy, but I think
But you've got to be trying to do it properly.
If you do it properly,
these guys, yeah.
I mean, it's like
this
craft
is like
beer,
a fine
right?
dine, you know? Yeah. Fine dining level of American food.
The first place that I think of when I think American food is Rockwell and Sons in Melbourne. And Casey, he's a freaking genius, right? Mm. I took my brother in there like 2 weeks ago. I said, "You've got to try this fucking double smash burger." As like got voted best burger in Australia and that sort of thing. And so Casey comes out of the kitchen, comes and sits down with me and my brother and Michael, his cellarman. And we started talking about vinegar. And he goes, "Yeah, I make some vinegar out the back, like in the bathtub." And that sort of thing. So he goes,
"Your brother's
and,
like,
ugh!" And Ian's like, you know, he's interested. He goes, "Yeah, we'll go get some. Let's try it." So he brings out some of this vinegar. He goes, "I won't tell you what's in it. Just taste it." And taste the vinegar. It was like really, really good. And he goes, "What do you think I made that with?" And Ian was just had no idea.
Yeah.
And Casey just goes, "It's Mountain Dew vinegar."
And I went,
"Fuck off. Fuck off. Are you serious?"
That's
and he's
awesome.
Like, "Yep." And it was really well made vinegar.
That's
it was
great.
Just so good. And Ian was just like,
"That's so wrong. That's so wrong." Yeah.
It was very good. So, but I love the American food theme that's going you know on at the moment. That sort of thing. But yeah, done properly by good talented
chefs. Exactly right.
Chefs,
yeah.
Like Mary's
Rockwell's, exactly right. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
it's great.
Next time you're in town, I'll take you to Hearts Out. Yeah. Like,
it's all like share.
Are we gonna have a date?
Right?
The man date.
Do you have a girlfriend?
Yeah. But she can stay at home, it's alright. She doesn't listen to this podcast, it's fine.
She told me she did.
She lies. But no, let's do it. As a beer recommendation, something being the beer hipster that I am, I'm following trends. I really like cans. Cans are cool.
Me too.
Yeah, so I've been smashing... Well, my two can beers I've been smashing is Fancy Pants.
Yeah.
And Mornington Pale. Like,
I thought you were going to say
Mornington Pale's awesome.
Yeah. I haven't gotten any of the Mornington cans yet. I haven't tried any.
Yeah.
We just got them in the album
and,
as well.
And, like, AG,
the
brewer there, he's got such an awesome haircut.
Has he changed his haircut?
That's like mine.
No, he doesn't have any. It's a Sam's
right,
cut.
That's what you mean. Yeah.
So, in the brewing world, we're very polarized. Yeah. You have bearded brewers, hairy brewers,
and bald brewers.
Yeah.
It is one of the two, isn't it? Mm. Super hairy. Right.
Maybe I could be a brewer.
Yeah, it's you too.
I've let my hair go crazy lately, though, so.
It's like an us versus them mentality going on. There'll be a battle of epic proportions.
That could be a beer event.
We can do a Dungeons
and
Dragons.
Beard versus bald.
Yeah, let's do that. I want to do
beard
that.
Beard versus bald brewers.
You'd have to call
battle.
Yourself bald.
Just do it. Yeah, it's like a those beer versus wine dinners.
Yeah.
Except you've got a bearded
instead of grape versus
beer
grain,
and a bald
it's
brewer's
like,
beer.
What, hair versus hair skin? Versus skin.
Oh, yeah, nice. Eel. Oh. Guys, thank you so much for having me today.
No, thanks for joining us, man.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And it's been a great trip here to Sydney. It's been so worth it, and I will come up as often as I possibly
can.
Please
do. Yeah. It's always a pleasure.